Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What I Googled This Week, where we sniff out the answers to some questions we had for the internet. And we close with our Big Fat Positives and Big Fat Negatives for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 194. Hello, Shauna.
Hello.
Hello, hello. So let's get right to it. I want to hear your check-in. I want to find out what's going on with you this week. I want to know how those girls are doing. Tell me everything.
We are good. I had a great week and I'm excited to talk about it.
Oh, me too. I love talking about great weeks. Okay.
Yeah. So as you know, we have been pretty housebound ever since the pandemic. We just don't do a lot. And then we kind of got in the routine of not doing a lot. And definitely like the stuff we do is outdoors kind of things and stuff like that. And Elle got her second vaccination in November. And so I was kind of like, okay, she can go inside places now with us. And this is great, a whole new world. And then Omicron hit and we didn't take her inside anywhere because of that. But this week, it all changed because I saw a post in my mom's group that the LA Philharmonic, which is like our city's orchestra, has a kids series. They put on shows like every few months on like a Saturday at 11, a matinee. And one was coming up this weekend. And I was like, oh my God, that would be so fun to take L to, because growing up, I used to go to the symphony, the Phoenix Symphony with my mom, and I loved it. I played flute. I was just really into music and classical music and stuff like that. And I was like, this would be such a cool thing to take her to. And Elle and I went to the Walt Disney Concert Hall this weekend to an orchestra performance.
That's so fun. I love that place. For people who don't know, the Walt Disney Concert Hall is in downtown Los Angeles, and it's just, it's one of my favorite places.
It's amazing. It's so iconic to Los Angeles, and I have never seen a show there. And so I was so excited, like all week. I had such like a sense of excitement about the weekend that I haven't had in ages, right? I'm just like, I'm so looking forward to this. What's going to happen to ruin this opportunity? Who's going to get sick? I mean, I just, you know, I was hesitant to get too excited, but truly, I was thrilled to do something so normal. And Elle was really excited. She'd been studying the city in school, like the country versus the city. And she has this fascination with the city. So I told her we're going into the city to see the orchestra. And she was thrilled. And she has this orchestra book where it like points out all the different, you know, sections and plays music and stuff. So we'd been reading that in anticipation. And we got there and the show started and they played this first number. It was like super lively and exciting and really fun. And afterwards, I looked to her and I was like, what did you think? And she looked at me. She goes, that was amazing.
Like, aww.
So genuine and so excited. And I was like on cloud nine. And then the next number was kind of long and boring. Like not boring, but slow, you know? Yeah. And I was like, ooh, how's she going to do? But she had great behavior the whole time. She sat still. At one time, she did whisper, this is kind of boring. And then the last number was really fun and lively again. And the conductor had us all clapping and participating. And it was just fun. She liked the last number. And it was awesome.
Oh, that really sounds nice. And like, I'm already like, oh, I want to take Augie. But I know he wouldn't sit through that. Like, he's too little. But I just want to like, I want to go do that. Yeah. I want to go to the symphony. Did you guys get dressed up?
Yes, we both wore dresses and she picked out some jewelry to wear. I think I wore earrings.
What?
So I know, God, I never do that anymore.
When you say you wore dresses, do you mean you're like dressy sweatpants or like an actual dress?
I cut my sweatpants into a skirt.
You just wore your whatever that thing is called, the like blanket hoodie down to your knees. But that's a dress. Put a belt on it. Called it a day.
Hilarious. No, you actually, do you know what dress I wore? Is the dress I wore in your wedding as a bridesmaid. It's like a black kind of tiered chiffon-y thing. It's really, really cute. I love it.
Well, that makes me happy. My goal with my bridesmaids' dresses was like something that they can wear again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fun.
It's really fun. And after the show ended, we went to the gift shop because she desperately wanted to go in there. And But then at dinner time, that's when things got a little bit more complicated.
Ooh, okay.
So you know how we've been doing our boohoos and woohoos at dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we were going through boohoos and woohoos, and it got to Elle, and she's like, my woohoo is that, and of course I'm like, that you went to an amazing orchestra concert with your mother today. No. She's like, my woohoo is that I played video games with daddy when I got home.
She won't give you the win, huh?
Oh, no. No, she won't. And so I'm like, that's fucking annoying. And then...
Where's my gold star?
Where is my gold star? And that's my woohoo. Dang it. Anyway, so Cece was like, what's your boohoo? And without hesitation, she's like, my boohoo is that orchestra.
What?
And I was like, what? And she goes, it was so boring. And
no.
I was so hurt by that. Like, I had to get up from the table and go in the bathroom, like pretending I was going pee. And I was like crying.
Oh, no.
I felt so defeated, you know, like it was so fun for me and so special to share that with her. And like it had deep meaning because I used to do that kind of thing with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so pissed that it was overshadowed by some stupid screen, you know, video game. And it just like, ugh, kids can be so finicky and unpredictable. And I know she liked it. Like, I know she looked at me and said, that was amazing. I know that. But then she just like, oh, man, no mercy, right? My boohoo mm-hmm. was that orchestra because it was so boring.
Hmm.
Ugh, I was really like sad about that all night.
Did you talk to her more about it later or has it just been left hanging?
I didn't. I didn't want her to feel guilty. She's really sensitive and I mm-hmm. wasn't ready to put those big emotions on her, my big emotions on her. So I kind of let it go. But I think Steve maybe talked to her about it because later that night when I was telling him how sad I was, he's like, I don't know, Shauna, I think that concert had a big effect on her. Like she wanted to read her orchestra book twice tonight. Like she wanted to talk about it and stuff. And that made me feel better. And then the next day I slept in a little late because I had a headache. And when I got up, she came running up to me. She's like, hi, mama. And the first thing she said was, I loved that orchestra. I loved the concert and I loved going with you. And I was like, aww. You did? And she's like, yeah, I did. And she's like, it was a little boring, but it was great. So I don't know if he talked to her about stuff or what, but, you know, that kind of cleared the air.
That's good. I feel like, not that you can't trust kids in what they say, but like... understanding sort of the gravity of what they're saying is definitely lost on them. Like,
yeah,
you know, she was probably, you know, when we think about like our best and worst or like a good thing and a bad thing from the day, we're thinking about like, what is the most, like, what's the most meaningful thing I can say? Mm-hmm. And for her, like, she probably just brought up the first thing that came to mind, which was like the boring stretch in the,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
And the playing video games with daddy was more recent than the going to the orchestra with you. Mm-hmm. So that's what came up. And then I also was thinking like maybe she was trying to sort of save face since daddy and Cece didn't get to go,
mm-hmm.
you know,
maybe
like she didn't want to brag about how much fun she was having
mm-hmm.
and make them feel excluded. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Possibly because when we left, she was really sad that they weren't going to get to come with
mm-hmm.
us. She did feel bad that it was just me and her. So, yeah, that could be there, too. That's a thing. You just don't know exactly mm-hmm. what your kids are thinking.
Yep.
But sometimes what comes out of their mouth can really cut deep.
Well, I think you did a good thing. And I think that sounds really fun. And I'm sure she will remember it for, you know, the right reasons.
Yeah, I hope so. And I want to go to another one because it was really, really fun. Anyway, so that was one thing we did this week. And the other I'll save for the last segment. But let's move on to you. How are you guys doing? And how was your week?
We're good. We actually had a really fun week, too.
Good.
Yeah. So I'll start with the baby, who is a year and change. And I am just being reminded like over and over how much fun one-year-olds are.
Yes.
Like, I love one-year-olds. They're so freaking cute. Like, they still have the baby cuteness, but then they start to do shit, you know?
Mm-hmm,
like, that's
mm-hmm.
also really cute. And so this week, Sebastian's like new skill is pointing with one finger at things.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Like he's doing the index finger point. But what's really cute about it, because, like, you know, lots of babies point earlier, you know, he had been gesturing towards things earlier, but, like, he realized, we kind of made a big deal the first time I saw him, like, pointing with one finger at something specific. And so now he's like, oh, this is a thing that they, like, gets me attention. And he yeah. is utilizing this skill, like, night and day, pointing at everything. He, like, just sticks his little index finger out and points at that and points at that. And he, like, all animals right now are cat.
Oh, okay.
So, like, we'll be out in the yard and he'll shoot his hand out and point. And he'll be like, cat! And it's a squirrel. You know,
like. Oh, I love it.
And he's just having so much fun. Have I shown you a picture of his little point?
No, I want to see.
Okay, I'm going to send you one. One sec. Okay, so I'm sending you a picture of, like, the first night he did it. And I got all excited. It was right after bath time. And so I just whipped my camera out in low light and took a picture.
He looks so happy about his new skill.
Yeah, he's so proud. And he's, like, pointing to the door because he wants to go to the door.
It's a new way to communicate.
Yeah, he's really utilizing it, and it's super cute. And it's actually very helpful, right? Because now he can show me exactly what he wants to talk about.
You know? Yeah.
So that's been very fun. And then the other fun thing we did this week is we also had, like, a first time since the pandemic excursion this weekend. But ours was to Kidspace Museum in Pasadena.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm.
So Kidspace is a children's museum in Pasadena that's, like, 90% outdoors, I would say. Right. Have you been there?
Yeah, we've been there a few times. Yeah, I would say it's mostly outside.
Mostly outdoors. And it's for, I want to say, like, the 5 and under set, 7 and under set. Probably. Mm-hmm. It's really wonderful. And we had been once when Augie was, like, 1, like, he had just turned 1 and he wasn't really walking much yet. And I remember being like, oh, this place is going to be awesome once he's, like, walking. And I was like, we're going to get a membership. It's going to be great. That was January 2020. And then pandemic yeah. happened. And mm-hmm. I was glad that we didn't get a membership, because then I would have felt guilty about canceling it during the pandemic and all that stuff. But we never got to go back. And they've been reopened for a little bit. And I finally, like, had the idea this weekend to be like, oh, Kidspace, we should go. And the other thing is that my mom wanted to get us a membership as a Christmas present, like a belated Christmas present.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Such a good idea. So we got a family membership so we can go whenever we want, basically. And oh my God, Augie was so happy. Like,
aww.
He loved it so much. And we can't wait to go back. It's just like, so they have, like, an area that's full of, like, physics experiments you can do. Like, you know, you slam something down and it pops up, like a ball pops up really high, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Then they have, like, a back area where there's a stream and, like, big musical instruments you can play, and a racetrack for tricycles, and a little kids, like a little kids playground area. But the thing that he really loved were all the, like, climbing features that they have mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
There's one called the Hawk's Nest, which is, like, it's built to look like a giant hawk's nest. And he, according to Corey, went up and down that, like, 20 times. Like, it's this gigantic, gigantic, like, want to say, like, 2-story high thing. And then inside the small indoor museum space they have 2 big climbing structures. One is, like, an ant-themed something or other. Like, you can go down into tunnels and then you can go up into a tree. Mm-hmm. And he was so brave climbing these things. He climbed all the way up to the top of, like, the ant one. And here, I'll show you a picture so you can see. Okay, so I'm sending you a photo of the first one he climbed. You're going to have to zoom in to see him in the top right.
Oh, okay. Wow. He's way up there and he's by himself. I assume Corey didn't go up there with him.
Corey did not go up there with him. And then the next one is something they call the raindrop climber, which is this like series of translucent circles, right? They're like blue circles that you kind of like stair step up all the way up. I mean, really high. Like this is at least two stories high. I'm going to send you a picture of him midway up the raindrop climber. And then I'm going to tell you what happened when he got all the way to the top.
Ooh, that looks cool. I don't think that thing was open last time we went there.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's really cool. And it like, so it's got mesh netting around the whole thing, but like it's, you can actually kind of see all the way up because the ground is translucent. Well, okay, so Augie, full steam, just climbed all the way up to the top, right? And I'm down on the ground with Sebastian. Luckily, Corey had run to the bathroom or something, but he was coming right up to me when I hear Augie say, "I have to pee-pee."
Oh, no.
And I was like, "Oh, honey, you need to come down if you need to pee-pee." And he started like making a scared noise. And I was like, "Are you afraid?" He's like, "Uh-huh."
Aww.
And then I hear him go, "I pee-peed."
Oh, no. Oh, buddy.
Yeah. So I hand Sebastian to Corey and I'm like, "I'm coming."
Oh, my like, God.
I'm going up these raindrops like all the way to the top, and I catch him at the top. And then I look down and I realize, like, no wonder he had a pee accident. It's fucking scary up there, Shauna.
Yeah, really?
Because when you look down, you can see all the way to the ground, like through your feet.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that'd be very unsettling for a 3-year-old.
It was very unsettling for a 39-year-old. So I didn't have anything to like clean up there. I pulled his shorts off and like used that to try to mop up.
Oh my God.
Helped him come down. I couldn't carry him because it wasn't full standing height, right? So I like had to help him come down. Then I went and found someone who worked there and I was like, "I'm so sorry. My son was up there. He had a pee accident. It's just pee. Like, can you give me something to clean it up?" And they're like, "Oh, we'll take care of it." And then like 10 minutes later, I see some people like talking, some people who work there talking, trying to figure out how they were going to clean it. I was like, this can't be the first time this has happened. Like,
right? Yeah.
They were very confused. And like other kids were trying to go up and I kept trying to stop other people from going up.
Uh-huh.
I did appreciate the dad. I was like, "Oh, there's a pee accident all the way at the top. And you shouldn't let your son up." And he's like, "Oh, he's fine. He's not going to go all the way up anyway. He's fine." I'm like, "Okay. Your call, dude."
Oh, my goodness.
And then just one more photo. I'm going to send a picture of Sebastian on top of the hawk's nest. Because the really nice thing, too, is that a lot of it is, or like most of it's accessible. So like you can get up to the hawk's nest in a wheelchair or a stroller. You don't have to like do the climbing structure. There's a ramp. So here's a picture of Sebastian in the hawk's nest.
Aw, so fun. Yeah, Elle really loved the hawk's nest, too. I do remember that. And she really loved that stream. I definitely know she went home soaking wet.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the reason I chose to go this day, because it was like 90 degrees or something. But yeah, super fun place to visit. If you're in Southern California, you should definitely take your kids there. And their COVID protocols are like A+. So yeah.
Oh, good. Their pee cleaning protocols, though, C-.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thankfully, pee is pretty clean. I don't know. Like,
pee's not going to put you in the hospital.
Probably not. But anyway, I do think they cleaned it up. So we had fun despite one little accident. And yeah, it was just a nice week for us, too.
Yay.
Do you think we should move on to our special segment?
Oh, yes. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, "What is your favorite memory of your parents?"
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is What I Googled This Week, which is one of our old-time favorites here on Big Fat Positive, where we admit to you what we have asked the internet lately about parenting, pregnancy, kids, all that jazz. Laura, you are up first. What did you ask Google?
Okay, so I asked Google, why does my baby's breath smell like vinegar?
Oh, no. And the answer is?
Well, let me get to that. So the backstory is, like, there have been a number of times I've noticed this, that when I've gone in to get Sebastian when he's woken up, mainly from, like, overnight, but sometimes from naps, too, I'll pick him up and he'll bury his little head in my shoulder and it's the sweetest, cutest thing, you know, and I'll be getting him out of his sleep sack and he'll start babbling in my face. And I'm like, why do you smell? Like, what is, it's not like a bad smell necessarily, but it was like a very distinct vinegar smell.
Okay.
Like, you know, there's like different types of bad breath. There's like someone didn't floss properly, bad breath. And there's like you're hungry, bad breath, you know, like, no, am I, is it just me?
Well, I don't know that I've gone down the road of different bad breath smells. So this is, I'm curious about this. Okay.
Okay. I guess, I mean, maybe I'm a weirdo, but like, I feel like I can smell the difference between like a hungry bad breath where you're in like ketosis.
Oh.
Or ketosis, I guess. And that's probably because when I was growing up, my mom would like say that to me. She would smell my breath and be like, ooh, you're ketotic. You need to eat something.
Okay. The extent of my bad breath knowledge is like, ooh, you just ate some onions. Like, that's all I know. Or,
okay.
You know, you just woke up in the morning. That's pretty much it. So I'm very, yeah, this is news to me.
Okay, well, I can smell different types of bad breath on people.
Wow.
I want to know if our listeners can.
Uh-huh.
And this was like a different, you know, it was just like, ew, it smells exactly like apple cider vinegar, basically.
Mm.
You know, not bad, but not what you expect to smell. And at first I was like, oh no, does he have like, is rotting teeth, there's like four teeth are rotting or whatever, like what's going on. So I googled it, and what came up over and over was that if your baby's breath smells like vinegar, it's either that there's like milk left in like their fat folds around their neck and stuff that is getting sour, like a sour smell, and I'm like, well, that's not it, or your baby has gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Or GERD.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not been treating Sebastian's GERD for a while because he like aged out of the PPIs he was on, the proton pump inhibitor medicine that he had been taking for a while. Like, we tapered it down and he's been off of it for, I don't know, months. But now I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, is he still reflexing and just like not showing a lot of signs of it, you know? Like, is this making him uncomfortable? Anyway, so it's something I'm gonna have to talk to his doctor about, but we just missed his first year appointment, so.
Oh right, yeah, but he's not showing any signs of discomfort or arching or all the stuff he used to do.
Well, no, he's definitely not arching as much. I mean, he will occasionally arch, but I was like, is this just a learned response? Like, is it just a thing he does now?
Mm.
And he's had some like early morning wakings, but, you know, who knows? There's like a million reasons that can happen with kids. You know, we've tried to read the tea leaves on that with you forever. So, yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I have reflux, so I know how it feels. I know it feels bad.
Yeah.
So now I'm worried, my poor baby, that maybe when he's cranky, that's why. And it's not just being a baby.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you can see the doctor soon and try to figure something out to help him.
Yeah, I might leave a message through their like portal and see what she says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the meantime, slip him some Altoids.
Altoids. I don't know. I think the mint might bother him. Are you thinking of Tums?
No, I was just trying to freshen his breath.
Oh, I got it. I was trying to treat his GERD, and you're just trying to put a Band-Aid over the
The
vinegar breath. Got it.
I'm
got
so
it.
Superficial.
So anyway, that's what I Googled this week. Shauna, it's your turn. What did you Google this week?
Okay. This is embarrassing to me, but I'm going to admit it. So what I Googled the other day is, I'm a mom and I want to smash things.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, and I want to smash, and then the name of a hot celebrity.
who would that be?
I don't know. I don't know of any hot celebrities anymore. I'm so out of touch. I don't even know.
Like, I definitely don't want to say Brad Pitt because, like,
no.
Everyone thinks that's what, like, old ladies say now, right? Like, that was... I don't know. I can't even think of who. That's so sad. Oh, I know. You know who I want to smash?
Yes, I want to know.
Okay, I don't know how we got on this topic, but this is good. I just followed him on Instagram the other day. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched the show Insecure on HBO. Love that show. So one of her love interests towards the end there, oh my God, he's just so cute, so hot. In real life, his name is Kendrick Sampson. He is so cute. I just love him.
Who did he play?
He played one of her... one of Issa Rae's boyfriends. I don't remember his name because I watched the show a couple years ago. I still need to catch up on the last season, but he kind of like had like light bluish eyes. Oh my God, he was so cute. Yeah.
Oh, Nathan. He's the guy who played Nathan. Yes. Her boyfriend. I don't want to give anything away. He was a barber, right? Yes.
Okay.
He is hot. Yes. You should smash.
Don't tell Steve.
would smash. Yeah, I'm sure it's a real real likely scenario these days.
Oh my gosh. I love that tangent. Okay.
So you want to smash objects, okay?
Yeah, so I think this is actually something that stems to my postpartum anxiety that I got after Cece was born and dealt with kind of the frustration of her inconsolable crying and melting down and stuff as an infant. And even now, you know, she still does that. I've talked about it on the show and stuff. And there was like maybe a good 2-week stretch a couple weeks ago where she just was having such a hard time and was pretty inconsolable, had a lot of meltdowns, which I've talked about before, like, you know, where we'd go in the bathroom and I couldn't understand what she needed and she would just have a tantrum and pee her pants and just all this stuff. And as I've also talked about on the show before, I try to stay outwardly as calm as possible. And that does something to my brain where on the inside, I just start like fantasizing about like taking a baseball bat and like just beating the crap out of like an office printer, like from the movie Office Space, you know, where they just are like smashing a printer. And I just think about that, or like, I just imagine wanting like a punching bag or something and just like, burr, burr, like I need some outlet, I think, for all of this energy and stuff that I'm kind of pushing down, especially in those moments. And I was just on Google and like, is this normal? Like, am I a crazy person? That's why it's kind of hard for me to admit this, right? Because it's like something deep inside of me that people don't really talk about or share with others, but it's definitely there. And so I Googled it.
And well, first of all, before you tell me what you Googled or like what the results were, does this like, are you feeling angry? Like, is this like a mom rage thing? Or is it just like the actual physical act of smashing things? Like if someone just lined up like 100 aluminum cans for you and you could like step on each one, like that's fine. That's all you need.
I think I need something more visceral than that. Like, I definitely am picturing like a baseball bat. I grew up playing softball, so maybe that's why, like, just the feel of a heavy bat and like smashing an old car or like something, just really like some impact. I want to feel some impact. I do think there's some mom rage there. And that's scary to admit, right? Because I don't want people thinking I'm like an angry person with anger issues, because really I'm not. Like, honestly, I hold it in a lot. I think that's the problem. Like, I'm really calm in the face of very, very tough, frustrating emotional situations.
Can I step on a soapbox for a second?
Yeah.
It's not an anger issue to show anger. Like, we are so conditioned to believe that showing any anger means you have an anger management problem. And
yeah.
I think that is such bullshit. This is me getting angry about it.
Good for you. Good for you for showing your anger in this moment. No, and I know that, you know, I've definitely talked about that with my therapist. Like, I'm a people pleaser. I don't like to upset people or have people mad at me. So I don't really like to show anger. Sometimes I do. It comes out for sure. But there's just something about, like, I've just been feeling lately like I want some kind of visceral, like, expression of the frustration.
You want to Hulk smash.
Yeah. That sounds satisfying.
Ooh, Mark Ruffalo. That's a good one. Okay, so go on.
Oh, Mark Ruffalo. Yeah, he's very cute. Yes.
Okay. So you want to Hulk smash, not in the way that I want to Hulk smash, apparently. So Google, what did Google say?
So I found out I'm not alone. Mom rage is a term. It's not uncommon. And I read an essay from a mom who was experiencing something very similar to me, right? Just like feeling very frustrated, like holding it all in, like something's bubbling. This is not the kind of mom rage where like we are on the verge of hurting our kids or abusing our kids. Like I really, really, really want to make that clear. Like I am not at that point at all. It's just internal frustration. I'm a very physical person and I just feel like doing something like smashing a car will express some of those feelings, right?
Yeah.
And this essay really, really, really captured what I was feeling. And she talked about going to something called a rage room. And I was like, oh, what now?
Oh, I've heard of these. Yes.
And I found out that there are places, there's a couple in Los Angeles, these places called rage rooms, where they're basically a place where you can go and pay for like a half an hour to do exactly what I want to do. Just take a baseball bat and smash a car or smash some glasses or mugs, or if you want to bring a damn printer, you can bring a printer in and smash it up. And in this one place, I think it's like an axe throwing slash rage room. So you can go and throw some axes and then go next door and like, you know, pound a car with a sledgehammer or something like that. And I, at that point, I was like, okay, I've got to admit these feelings to Steve because I kind of want him to go to a rage room with me.
Yeah.
It's like, Steve, there's this place I found and it sounds amazing and I really want to go. And I haven't gone yet because it's kind of hard to justify spending like $250 just to go break stuff for 30 minutes. But
oof, that is a lot of money.
I know.
But it's like therapy, right? I wonder if it's something you could pay with your like, what is it, FHA, your flexible health savings account?
Yes. Oh, really, truly, that would be so smart. I mean, my other idea is like maybe I should just get a punching bag and you know, take up boxing. But I haven't done any of it yet. I'm still in a place of like, how do I deal with this energy? And hopefully I'll figure something out soon and I'll report back.
Okay. I think it's totally healthy and fine. And I think it's good. And I know that you're not, you know, ever at risk of any rage being directed towards your children. I think that, you know, that's very obvious and very clear. And also, like, that's the whole point, right? Like, you're very good at containing and, like, managing your emotions and feelings to maintain your, you know, children's world, right? To, like, help them through their big feelings. And now you just need somewhere you can let it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. Well, I'm going to be racking my brain for like ways you can do this.
Oh, yes. That, if you think of anything, let me know.
There's got to be like a crafting equivalent. You know what I mean? Some way you can smash things that doesn't require an hourly rental fee. I'm going to think on this.
Maybe I'll make mosaics, like smash old pots to make little shards that I can then delicately place into a bowl. Deep breath. Okay, anyway, yes. So that's me. Do you have another one for us?
Yeah, I do. And you know what's funny is I didn't realize the connection to this until we started talking about my first one. And I was like, this is going to enrichen. Is that a word? It's going to enrich our conversation about my second one I Googled.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so my second one I Googled was smell sensitivity in toddlers.
So Augie has some issues with smells?
So I hadn't really thought about this until recently. And I've talked about what a picky eater he's become, right? And, you know, I've talked about it to death on the show. And I had never really considered the olfactory component to it until recently. Because he sat down to dinner recently and we were trying to give him salmon, cheese, and like, I don't know, like it was three things. And it used to be 6 months ago, he'd eat salmon, he'd eat rice, he did everything, right? Mm-hmm. We gave him like salmon, rice, and cheese. And he was like, the first thing he did, he sat down and he said, I don't like that smell. And then he like shoved the plate away and was making like a disgusted face. And right. I was like, huh, smells do have a lot to do with what we think are appetizing, right?
Yeah.
And so I started paying attention and he did that again. And I was like, huh, so maybe he's like hypersensitive to smell. And then an incident happened this week. That's a little embarrassing.
Okay.
So as you know, the renovation's still going on in our house and we're all sharing a shower, right?
Right.
And usually that means that I sneak into Augie's room after he's asleep and just shower in there. But I hadn't done that the night before because I was really tired. And then like it ended up that 2 days had gone by and I hadn't showered. And the kids' bath time was rolling around and Augie was like, I don't want to take a bath, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, okay, you know what? This will be fun. Let's all take a shower together, right? Mm-hmm. I'll get my shower out of the way and you'll get your shower. You're like, he likes showering. This is a new thing, kind of. He likes being in the shower and the baby likes it too. So I was like, I'll shower with Augie, then I'll shower with the baby, and then we'll all be showered and it'll be great. And so like I strip down and get into the shower. And Augie, you know, Corey helps Augie get undressed and he's getting into the shower and he steps in and he goes, I don't like that smell. You smell bad.
Oh, no. About you?
About me.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, God. I was like, yeah, honey, I haven't showered in a couple days. Like, I might be kind of stinky. That's why I'm in the shower. But he was like really upset by it and didn't want to get anywhere near me.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, Corey, you can tell me the truth. Did I stink? You know, like, what's going on? And he's like, I didn't smell anything weird. Like, you didn't smell to me. I was like, that's so weird. So then I Googled.
Yeah.
And I found a couple different sites that were talking about kids with sensory processing disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really thought about whether Augie might have a sensory processing disorder because he hasn't had any issues with like loud noises, bright lights, like any other sensory inputs, like fabrics don't bother him, you know, scratchy or anything. But I found this one site. It's called Integrated Learning Strategies. And there is a blog titled Sensory Sensitivities, Why My Child Shows Sensory Defensiveness to Odors, Strong Smells, and Detergents.
Hmm.
And it's a long article with a lot of images to get Pinterest, I think, pins going. But there is this section, which it says there are differences and varying degrees of smell dysfunction. To learn how to identify this type of sensory issue, you may notice the following. So there's a heading that says sensory seeking with smells. And the bullet points are frequently tries to sniff people, excessively uses the sense of smell to identify a new object, seeks out strong odors, and uses smell to interact with new places. And then down lower, it says hypersensitivity, you know, gags at the smell of certain foods, bothered by cooking and cleaning smells, and a picky eater. Mm. And I was then reminded that Augie regularly, like, sniffs me.
Does he really?
He will, like, walk up to me and bury his head, like, in my shoulder and just take a deep whiff.
That's so cute.
It's very cute. And I just thought it was like a mommy kid thing. But now I realize that it might be this like hypersensitivity, like to smell stuff. Like
maybe.
And then I picked him up from school the other day. And that was the first thing he did. I picked him up. He said, I missed you. Leans in. You smell so interesting.
Really?
That's exactly what he said. So I don't know. Like, I have to do a little more research. I have to, like, talk to other parents and see if anyone else has experienced this. But, like, maybe this will be a key to, like, help him figure out eating a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to pick foods that don't have a pungent odor. You know what I mean? Like, or, I don't know, find a way to mask it or something. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, I wonder what therapy for that would be like if that's a road you end up going down.
And I'm now realizing that, like, maybe I also have this because I've been blaming my, like, hypersensitivity to smells on, like, pregnancy. You know, that, like, I've told people, like, oh, I got the hypersensitivity to smell, like, super smell, superpower. When I was pregnant with Augie and it never went away. But I'm like, maybe I started at a higher baseline because I'm the one who's like, yeah, I can smell when people are hungry. And you're like, what?
Oh, right. Exactly.
So, yeah, maybe it's
the pieces
genetic.
Are all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
I will say my girls don't do that sniffing thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, not that that answers anything definitively, but yeah, oh, that's so fascinating. I'm so curious to hear what more you learn about this.
Yeah. So listeners, if your kid does this stuff, if you've like heard from an occupational therapist or something that your kid has a olfactory sensory processing difference, like, please let me know. I want to know all about it. And yeah, I want to know strategies. I want to know how to like harness it. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So anyway.
Wow.
That was my last what I Googled this week. Mine were both about smells and smelling. Mm-hmm. Do you have one more for us you'd like to share after the break?
I do. And it's completely different.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back, and Shauna has one more what I Googled for us. Shauna, tell me, what else did you Google this week?
Okay, I'm going to lump two questions together. I Googled these things separately, but they are related to each other in a way that I'll get to.
Okay.
The first one I Googled is, do birds fart? And the other one I Googled is, does your vulva have muscles?
Oh, okay. All right.
Can you guess why I Googled these things?
together.
Separately.
Oh, you did them separately. They're not related.
Okay. No, they are related in a way, but I Googled these on like separate days.
I'm gonna guess it's because Elle had these questions and you were looking into them for her?
Yes. That's what this one is all about. This one is like the wacky things you end up Googling as a parent because your kids pose questions to you that you're like, I don't know. Hanging out in the backyard, whatever, like a crow flies by. Mama, do birds fart? Like, don't know. I know who does know. Google. And so I learned a little bit about animal farts that I just know y'all want to hear too.
Yes, I do. I mean, because I know a bird has a cloaca, and I don't know if gas passes through a cloaca.
A cloetta?
A cloaca. It's like not a butthole, and it's not a vulva, vagina. It's an opening that like lets both urine and feces out, right?
Right. Oh, I didn't know that's what the was called. Fascinating. Well, I learned on Vox.com, for some reason, they had an article about different animals' gas and farts. So it was a perfect place for me to learn. Birds don't, in fact, fart. They lack the stomach bacteria that builds up gas in their intestines.
Yeah, that was my guess. Because you need the bacteria to digest that stuff. Yeah, okay, cool. Yep, okay, yep. Check.
Hashtag jealous. Okay. Zebras fart when they're startled, in case you wanted to know. I only have like two of these. Don't worry, I won't go too far down. Okay, sloths don't fart because their digestion is so slow. I guess it doesn't really build up. And then the best one, salamanders and amphibians, it's unclear whether or not they do fart because they don't have strong enough sphincter muscles to create the necessary pressure for definitive flatus, as quoted by Vox.com. So they're kind of always in a state of slow gas leakage, slow farts.
Permafarts. Well, for any of you guys who have amphibian pets, like salamander pets,
yeah,
there you go.
There you go.
Permafarts all day long.
You're welcome for that knowledge.
Okay, so case closed.
Case closed.
Now, how about the vulva muscles?
Okay, so I Googled this one because obviously we know the vagina has muscles, right? But I know that's not what Elle was asking about. Like, she just wanted to know if, like, that whole area had muscles. And honestly, I was like, I don't know. Like, does the labia have muscles? I don't know. And so I found a nice little answer on Britannica.com. Encyclopedias are not dead.
They're just online.
Just online.
Did you have like all the encyclopedia books lined up when you were growing up?
Oh,
in your house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too. I loved just pulling a random book off the shelf.
Me
and,
too.
Like reading a page. Mm-hmm. The joys our children will never know.
Never know. Unless I run out and get an encyclopedia for them.
You know, you got the bookshelf space?
No, not really. Okay, so Britannica has a whole section describing the vulva, talks about the labia. It talks about the labia majora, and it says, quote, beneath the skin layer, there is mostly fatty tissue with some ligaments, smooth muscle fibers, nerves, and blood in lymphatic vessels. So there are some muscle fibers in there.
There you go.
Yep. Learn something new.
I would have just guessed like some fat.
Yes.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm. And we're all smarter now.
We're all smarter thanks to Elle's questions. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Elle.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's it for me. Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah, let's. Okay, so we close our show every week with a big fat positive or a big fat negative. And I want to know, Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
You know, I've been going back and forth. I can't figure out which one this is. I'm going to call it, if it's okay, I think I might call it a BFW, a big fat weird.
Wow. Okay. This is a first. We've got 194 episodes before we've run into this problem.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
What is this? I am very confused.
Okay. It's a little bit of both positive and negative. Let me just jump into it.
Okay.
So this weekend, we went to the world's largest bounce house.
What?
Yeah. It's this place called Fun Box. And I don't know if Funbox is the company that puts on lots of different kind of like pop-up attractions and stuff. I gather that's what it is. But right now, it's a huge bounce house. Actually, they call it a bounce park. And it's set up in a mall parking lot near us. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't even know how many square feet, 10,000? It's like a huge corner of this parking lot. And it's just like, I don't know, 30, maybe 50 bounce houses stitched together, but also like just like mazes and obstacle courses and huge bounce house slides. And it was wild. And very fun. The girls loved it. Cece was getting knocked over by people left and right.
Oh, but bouncing, that stressed me out.
It did stress me out a little bit, but she was getting up right away, like no problem, hopping up, running, laughing. And I was like running to keep after her. And Elle and Steve got separated and went their own way. And we were just exploring this massive, massive bounce house with hundreds of people in it. Here's a couple pictures and a little video for you so you can envision what I'm talking about.
Okay, let's see. Holy shit. That is enormous. Like, I mean, you know when they say there's a bouncy castle? Like, this is actually a bouncy castle.
Yes.
Wow.
It's fit for a king, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And look at Cece looking so happy. I mean, like, ear to ear grin.
Mm-hmm.
In this. Okay, I want to watch this video. Oh my God. She's like going through an obstacle course. She's getting like pummeled by a, like, a wrecking ball. There's just kids everywhere. Oh my God. Augie would have loved this.
Loved it. I actually thought about him as we were running through there. I was like, oh my God, he would love this place. It was wild. It was just so fun. Pure chaos. Pure chaos. And then...
Yeah, I'm like, where's the W in this? This sounds all positive to me.
Uh-huh. So we were there about 45 minutes. We paid for like a 2-hour session. And God, I was exhausted, right? I'm like sweating out of breath. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my God. We were there for 45 minutes. And there, like I mentioned before, there's like a tall part of this, right? Like there's a couple like really big slides. You have to climb all mm-hmm. these steps to get up and slide down. And then next to that, there's this bridge where you climb up these steps. And then there's like an air-filled bridge connecting the two sides. And Cece and I were climbing up the stairs to go across the bridge. So we were up on one of these high parts. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I start hearing whistle blowing, like a coach's whistle. I'm like, what? Uh-huh. And I look around and there's like this teenager in like a referee's shirt blowing a whistle and like yelling at people up on the slide. And then he starts coming over towards us and blowing the whistle and like yelling at us. But I don't know what he's even saying. I assumed at mm-hmm. this point he's someone who worked there, you know. And I started feeling so confused. And the next thing I know, this bridge that we're on, we're just about to get on this bridge, it just starts mm-hmm. sinking. And we start like falling down. And there's a kid in the middle of the bridge and he's just sinking down. And we're sinking down towards him. And
oh my God.
Yes, we're falling. And I'm like, what the fuck? What is happening? I was so confused. All I pictured was getting sucked underneath like hundreds of pounds of like rubber walls and suffocating to death. I was like, oh my God, save my baby. At this point, I was holding on to Cece so she wouldn't like actually fall down a height. Mm-hmm. We were just kind of sinking at this point, but it was just mass confusion. And somehow at that moment, Steve like was standing right there. We had been separated for 45 minutes, hadn't seen each other. And all of a sudden he was like standing there. I was like, oh, thank God, take her, take her, take her. And he grabbed her and I'm just like swimming in like rubber bounce house walls as it's all collapsing around me. I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, it's all collapsing. It's all collapsing, the whole thing. I'm like, what? He's like, I think the power blew or something. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Like 10,000 square feet of bounce house was just all deflating at the same time. So that's why the referee was trying to get the people off of the high points.
Oh my God.
Faster, right? Because if you're just on a regular flat part of the bounce house, you just kind of sink down. But we were on this high part and just falling down with the these rubber bounce house walls. And I was like, oh my God, he gave me a hand and I stepped out of like all of the sinking walls. I'm like, oh my God, if I die in a bounce house today, I swear to God. He's like, come with me, come with me. And parents, other parents who'd been separated from their kids, you know, because this place is crazy. It's like,
yeah.
Parents are like yelling for their kids, trying to find people are like trying to make sure people aren't caught under collapsing walls and stuff.
Oh, no.
We get to the center of the bounce house and like people, hundreds of people are streaming out the exit, right? He's like, Steve's like, let's stay here for a minute, which was like by the DJ station, because of course there's a DJ station in the middle of a huge bounce park. Like, it was kind of an open space. He's like, we'll be safe here. You guys stay here. I'm going to go, like, search for survivors. He, like, ran off to help and see if anyone else needed help. And after a couple minutes, I was like, okay, it's the chaos leaving, like, exiting mm-hmm. is better. So I took the girls and we exited the bounce house and just, like, watched from the distance as it just continued to go completely flat. And
oh my God.
They were so confused. And Elle was like, where's daddy? I'm like, he went to help. And she was like, I want to help. I want to help people. I'm like, you can't, honey. That's an adult's job. And here's the after picture.
Oh my God. I'm like, this is a fear I didn't know to have, Shauna.
Yeah, I would safely say this has never crossed my mind.
Okay, let's see. Oh my God. Oh, Elle looks so like concerned and oh my goodness. That is bonkers. And yeah, someone could get stuck under those heavy folds and it be a problem. Like, so did mm-hmm. Steve end up encountering anyone who needed help?
No, he was in there for about 5-10 minutes and he said that it seemed clear that everyone found everyone they were looking for and everyone mm-hmm. got out safely. So there were no injuries that I know of.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a very slow motion disaster.
Right?
Oh my God.
So bizarre.
Well, now I'm glad we didn't go.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Wow.
We did get a refund.
Good.
Yeah. And we ended up going to Menchie's and getting frozen yogurt afterwards. So it ended up being a fine, fun day. It was just weird and like just,
it was a mixed bag, huh?
Yeah.
Literal mixed bag. Bag of rubber. Oh, boy.
So, yeah, that's mine.
Wow.
What do you got for us, Laura? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a very straightforward BFP.
Oh, okay.
Cleanse our palates of that drama.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good, good, good.
Mine is a book. It's called The Book with No Pictures by BJ Novak. Do you have that one?
Love that book. Yes.
Okay, so we did not have this book. BJ Novak, you might know him from The Office. He played Ryan on The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it and you're like, the book with no pictures. Like, what kid is going to want to read a book with no pictures? But the whole premise is that it's like, the thing about books is that you have to read whatever words are on the page, even if they say blork and like whatever. There's like, and the rest of the book is just like making you as the adult say ridiculous, silly, gibberish things.
Mm-hmm.
And our friends, Jen and Steven, actually got it for Augie for his 3rd birthday because they were like, oh my gosh, you don't have the book with no pictures. You've got to get the book with no pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually recorded myself reading it to Augie for the first time so I could send it to Jen.
Oh, cool.
Do you want to hear a little bit of it?
Oh, yes.
We're going to read The Book with No Pictures. Come here. I think you're going to like it.
I want to
see
a new tiger.
Okay, come here. We're going to read this book first, and then we'll read Down the Tiger. Okay?
Okay.
Come here.
I want to read this one and then that one.
Here, Laura. Well, I have this one open already. Come sit with me. Look. Okay, ready? This.
And I'm going to read my own book.
You don't. This is a book with no pictures.
Wait. Can you let you read that one and I will read this one?
You haven't read this one yet. I think you're going to like it. Ready? It might seem no fun, like no fun to have someone read you a book with no pictures.
This one has a lot.
It probably seems boring and serious.
No, not serious.
Except, here is how this book works. Here's how books work. Everything the words say, the person reading has to say. No matter what. That's the deal. That's the rule. So that means even if the words say blark. Wait, what? That doesn't even mean anything. Blurr. Wait a second, what? This isn't the kind of book I wanted to read. And I have to say every word the book says? Uh-oh. Oh, my only friend in the whole wide world is a hippo named Boo Boo Butt.
Oh my God. He loves it. Hilarious. I love his laugh.
He loves it. And he, like, that was just the beginning, you know, just a small snippet. I mean, it was just full belly laughs. Like, we had to read it probably 5 times in a row. Mm-hmm. And now he goes around, like, saying badongi face all the time. but yeah, it's a wonderful book. It's, like, perfect for 3-year-olds, I feel mm-hmm. like, and up. Because it's, like, this is the age when they really start to understand, like, why it's funny for adults to say silly things.
Yeah. You
know? Like, we're big in the, like, everything is poop around here right now, you mm-hmm. know? And it's like, he'll say, like, poop! And everything's funny, right? So this book is, if you have a kid who likes to laugh at the word poop, he will like this book. So he or she, they will like this book. Yeah. So that's my BFP. Short and sweet. We'll link to it in the show notes, of course.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a good one.
But anyway, I think that's the end of our show. I think we just need to read a 5-star review and get on out of here.
Okay, Laura, I have one for you. This is DJ from Canada. The title of the review is Favorite Podcast, 5 stars. I started searching for podcasts related to conception and pregnancy when my husband and I were struggling to conceive. It was the first wave of COVID back in March 2020, and fertility clinics were closed, and there was a complete halt in our conception journey, and I was feeling alone and discouraged. I loved all the topics discussed, but Shauna's journey to motherhood really spoke to me. I now have an almost 1-year-old, and I still listen to this show on the regular. I can't think of a more honest, hilarious, relatable momming podcast out there. Definitely worth a listen. I'm getting choked up.
I'm getting choked up. Oh. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for leaving that review. And we're so glad that, you know, we can talk to you through our podcast and keep you company.
Absolutely.
And congrats on your 1-year-old.
Yay. So happy for you. Yay. All right, listeners, if you would like to leave us a 5-star review, we might read it on an upcoming episode. So head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave that review. And please spread the word. Let your friends know about Big Fat Positive. And Laura, if our friends would like to let us know what they've been Googling lately, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And if you want to email us, you can always throw a voice memo in there. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join legitimately the best group on the internet, search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join, and make sure you answer the 2 membership questions so we know you're not a robot or trying to catfish us. And then we'll send you straight through to all the amazing conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Bye.
Bye.